Okay, so we start off first with our motivation, and that's really the principal thing in the retreat, you know, is why are we doing this and what is our motivation? And it's a good thing, you know, I'm sure you'll ask yourself this during the retreat, why in the world am I here? Okay, so you might, you know, when you ask a question like that, you're going to come up with certain specific kinds of answers, yeah? And they may be true or they may not be true. That's up to you to investigate. But whatever that motivation is, we also want to expand it and enlarge upon it, yeah? Because so much of our retreat is about deliberately cultivating a motivation of bodhicitta, not just assuming it, but deliberately cultivating it. Okay, and we do that by, first of all, just looking at what samsara is. What is the situation that we're in? Yeah, situation is that we have a body and mind that are under the control of afflictions and karma. You know, we didn't sit up on some cloud and look down and say, oh, I'm going to choose this body or that body. You know, we were completely propelled by things from the past. In this case, some good karma, you know, but still we're in samsara. And so we took the body that we have. But once we take this body, then what happens? Yeah, the moment after conception, aging starts. So it's not like AARP says that aging, you know, you're only old at 65. We are aging from the moment after we're conceived in our mother's womb. Yeah, we're in the process of aging. As the process of aging goes on, what happens? We get sick. Yeah, we've all been sick, cold and flu and things. But, you know, as the body gets older and more run down, different kind of sicknesses and dysfunctions appear in it. And then finally, at some point, the body dies, and we die with it. And that's something that happens to everybody who's born. You know? So they get old and sick and die. And there's no way around it. But when we think about it, Is this something that is a great experience that we look forward to? No, not at all. Like it came out in the last session, we're very afraid when our body doesn't feel well, when it's uncomfortable. Aging kind of freaks us out. I mean, can you imagine tomorrow morning going and looking in the mirror and you look like you're 80 years old? What are you going to think when you look at that 80-year-old face in the mirror that doesn't look anything the way you look now? Unless for those of us who are getting close to 80, you know, there might be some, you know. But otherwise, you know, when you're young and everything like that, your face changes so much when it gets old. It's that sometimes people can't recognize. No, when you're 18 to when you're 80, no. People who know you in high school can't recognize when you're old. And the body changes that much. And how do we feel about, you know, being less attractive? No matter what the ads say and what they're trying to sell us, this is the reality, you know, less attractive, more physical aches and pains. Watching our friends get old and die. Yeah, and this is the situation that is going to happen to us, and there's no way around it. You know, the only way we avoid aging is if we die young. And that's, you know, we would rather age, wouldn't we? But, you know, it's no fun. And we've all gone through different steps with our body, where we can really feel that our body is losing energy, you know, that we're not as young as we used to be. We can't do the things we used to be able to do. Do you remember that? Yeah? And those things come, and there's no way to reverse them. Doesn't matter what medical science does. know, the body's going to fall apart. And are we equipped mentally to handle those changes of what's going to happen with the body? Yeah, so the body's going to have its own pain, but then the mind is going to have its pain looking at what's happening to the body. And, you know, can we accept the aging process gracefully, or does it kind of freak us out? You know? And then in between all of this, between birth and death, then we encounter many unpleasant experiences, even though we try to avoid them. Problems come. And we try and get what we want, and we're not always successful. We know that one very well, don't we? Work very hard to get what we want. Can't always get it. And sometimes we get it, and it turns out not to be very good. Or even if it turns out to be good, we're separated from it. Yeah. Because that's the nature of reality, that things change. You know, as soon as something comes together, it's in the process of disintegrating and falling apart. And this is the nature of our lives. So we come together with many different people, but we can't stay together with them always. Yeah. The relationships end for one reason or another, or they change, you know, in very dramatic ways that we didn't anticipate at the beginning. Or maybe we just get tired, or the other person gets tired, or we're separated by war or some kind of external situation that divides us from the people we care about. You know, so this is the nature of cyclic existence. And, you know, we find some degree of happiness in between, but all that happiness doesn't last too long. Yeah, you know, we had a very nice lunch today. How long did that happiness last? Not so long. Yeah. We have very good conversations with people. How long does that happiness last? Yeah. We have sexual relationships. How long does that happiness last? Yeah. I said to my dad one time, because in my family we thank our parents for, you know, raising us. So I said to my dad one time, thank you for, you know, being my dad and having me. And he said, it's okay, it didn't take very long. But that's exactly it, isn't it? You know? It doesn't last, the pleasure doesn't last very long. Yeah. And what do you get instead, you know, this screaming child like me? you know, if we look, you know, whatever we consider satisfaction or pleasure, it really doesn't last very long. And what we see instead is, you know, people having social status and losing it, people having wealth and losing it, having relationships and then them disintegrating. Things are changing all the time. Yeah. So this is not a pessimistic view. This is just the reality of the situation. Okay? And so when we realize that reality, and we realize it's unsatisfactory, then we seek what causes it. And contrary to how we've grown up, the cause of our confusion and our misery and our problems, it's not external people. Yeah, and it's not the government, and it's not the terrorists, and it's not what we usually blame. But why are we in this situation to start with? Why did we take this body that and this mind that are under the control of afflictions and karma? Why did we take them? Because of our afflictions and our karma. So if we want to stop this cycle of existence, then we have to stop the karma that causes the rebirth. And to do that, we have to get rid of the afflictions that create the karma. And to get rid of the afflictions, we have to root out the ignorance which is the root of all the afflictions. Yeah. So this is a whole lifetime's practice. It's not just a hobby that we do for a little while in between going to the discotheque, you know, and having family dinners and Christmas trees, you know. It's not a little hobby. It's real serious business, because this whole cycle of existence will continue on and on and on unless we end it. And we're not guaranteed that it's always going to be in the good state that we have now. Yeah, very easy to be born, you know, as an animal or a hungry ghost or a hell being. Now, you might look at our little kitties and say, oh, they're so cute, and they don't have any fears and concerns. And yeah, all they do is sleep all day. But, you know, they're only alive for a short period of time. Their consciousness is completely trapped in what they can do with that body and brain. No chance to practice the Dharma, no chance to create any virtue. And after living just a few years, they die and they go on to another rebirth. So we can't say that, you know, being a kitty at the Abbey is going to be continuous bliss, because we just, you know, are stuck in cyclic existence. She's showing us that. Okay? So, you know, there is an alternative, and that alternative is what we call nirvana, or liberation, or in the terms of Mahayana practitioners, full enlightenment. You know, breaking out of this cycle of existence and having real freedom. We usually think freedom means I can go where I want to and do what I want to, and nobody can tell me what to do. But actually, what is it that tells us what to do? It's our self-centered mind and our attachment and our anger and our pride and our jealousy, and they tell us what we do, what to do all the time. So we aren't really free from those things, even though we may have political freedom. Yeah? So for real freedom, our mind has to be free of these mental afflictions. Yeah, and it's possible to eliminate them because they are based on ignorance, and ignorance is an erroneous consciousness. In other words, ignorance apprehends things in the exact opposite way from how they actually exist. Yeah. So because ignorance is erroneous, once we see things how they do exist, which is the direct counterforce to ignorance, you know, how ignorance says things exist, wisdom says they don't exist that way, they exist in the opposite way. So it is possible by cultivating ignorance to overpower and eventually eliminate the, by cultivating wisdom, it's, you should look like something happened, if I mix my words, unless you're totally spaced out. But when you, cultivate wisdom, it completely, you know, this possibility to totally overpower ignorance. Yeah. So that's what we want to do, and it's something possible to do. And in this particular life, we've been fortunate to be born at a time when the historic Buddha has lived, when the lineage of those teachings still exist, where it's possible to meet teachers who can give us instructions on the path, where we have all the conditions here to be able to practice. Yeah. So it's very hard to get all these different conditions together so that we can really do something to get ourselves out of cyclic existence. And yet we have that opportunity right now. And yet, just to focus on getting ourselves out of cyclic existence doesn't really cut it, because we're in a world where we're totally dependent on other living beings. We don't grow our own food. Yeah, most of us didn't cook our lunch today. Maybe a couple of people did. Yeah, we didn't make our own clothes or make the fabric or grow the cotton or, you know, get the wool out of which our clothes are made. Everything we know comes due to the kindness of our teachers and all the people who taught us when we were little. Now, so if we look, every quality we have, every ability we have, actually comes due to the kindness of other living beings. And we can't survive on this planet without the care and affection and efforts and knowledge of other living beings. You know, we're totally dependent. Yeah. So to just kind of say, look, folks, I'm going for my own enlightenment. Good luck. I have compassion for you. Good luck, but I'm getting out of here. Ciao. That doesn't really cut it, does it? You know, when you think of the amount of kindness that we've received from beginningless time from other living beings, to just care about our own spiritual practice and our own liberation, that seems really quite ungrateful. Yeah. So when we, so it's not a thing of feeling guilty, like, oh, you know, I should be more grateful. But actually, when we spend time thinking of how dependent we are on others, and how everything we are and know and have and do depends on others, then naturally this mind grows that appreciates other sentient beings and that sees them in beauty and wants to return their kindness to them. And then we see that the best way to return the kindness is by progressing on the path to full awakening, because as a fully awakened being, we'll be able to benefit others so much better than we can benefit them now. You know, now, you know, look at it. We try and benefit others. Yeah. And what happens? The idea comes in our mind, I want to give a donation to this charity. And immediately afterwards, there's the mind that says, well, don't give that much, give less. Because if you give too much away, you won't have it. Yeah? Do you have that kind of mind that comes when the right after the thought to be generous comes? Yeah. Or the thought, you know, to keep good ethical conduct. Oh yes, I'm not going to lie. And then next thing we know, what's happening? Some kind of twisted something's coming out of our mouth. Yeah, just due to the force of habit. So, you know, it's going to take some time and energy and effort, but we really have to work at it, but we can eliminate these things and stop ourselves from harming others and stop ourselves from creating the causes for our own suffering. Yeah? So that's what we want to do here at the retreat, you know, is stop the causes of our own suffering and create the causes to be able to really benefit others instead of being so limited. You know, sometimes we may see somebody who's in a huge predicament and we want to help them and we have no idea how to. You know, like a relative or somebody may have a substance abuse problem and you're completely stuck in terms of how to help them. We don't know. We don't have the wisdom that knows how to help, or the skillful means that know how to do it. Or sometimes we see somebody having a problem, and our mind goes, yeah, they have a problem, but they deserve it. So we don't have the compassion that's necessary to, you know, really help somebody. Yeah, we talk, especially Christmas, like now, oh, may everybody live in peace and may everybody, you know, live in harmony together. But then you go to your family dinners and what happens? People are bickering and talking behind each other's back and we join in. Hmm? So we see that, you know, we have one side of us that really wants to benefit, but, you know, others. But we also have another side that completely makes problems for us and sabotages ourselves. So, you know, we really, in the retreat, want to meditate deeply to make the, you know, our love and compassion and the causes to be a benefit to others, to make them strong, and to lessen the force of the opposing forces that get in our way to being of as much benefit as we would like to be. Okay? So we're doing all of this, you know, for the long-term purpose of our own enlightenment, so that we'll have the qualities to best be able to benefit others. Now, because we can certainly do some benefit now, but, you know, also our benefit is limited, isn't it? And wouldn't it be nice to be able to manifest many different bodies to go out and help all the different people who need help at any particular time? And wouldn't it be nice to know exactly what you need to do according to that person's way of thinking and their karma to be a benefit to them? Yeah. And wouldn't it be nice to have absolutely no hesitation on our own parts when love and compassion come up? We just go with them without hesitation or fear. You know, that would be really nice, wouldn't it? So this is, you know, what we're trying to do in our practice, so that we can really be of greater and greater benefit to ourselves and to other living beings as well. Yeah. And so it's with that motivation that we do the retreat. And, you know, that motivation that we practice kindness and compassion with each other and really live together as a community and help and support each other. Okay, so whether you're doing the six-session retreat or the Vajrasattva retreat, you know, we're all doing purification, we're all doing creation of merit, we're all trying to increase our wisdom, love, and compassion and renunciation. So we use the same motivation for all of these practices. And then really feel so fortunate to have this opportunity to spend a month or 3 months doing this. Because think about it, you know, in your life before, have you ever taken a month out and spent it totally only on spiritual practice? Yeah. And when are you going to get this opportunity again? To do 1 month, let alone 3 months. When are you going to do it again? Yeah. So this is a very, very precious opportunity. Very important to take advantage of it. You know, and have a strong motivation of bodhicitta.